Welcome to the Bible study on this Friday, April the 11th, 2014. I'm your host, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, welcoming you in wherever you're listening. And we invite you to not only listen, but give us your questions, your comments on the text today. 314-821-0850, the number in the St. Louis listening area if you have unlimited long distance or you feel just like spending some shekels and calling us. Toll-free, North America, 800-730-2727, or via email, kfuo at kfuo.org. Let's welcome in our pastor for this day, Pastor Michael Walther, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Collinsville, Illinois, a regular here on Worldwide KFUO. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Rod. Glad to be with you guys.
Good to have you with us. Are you all prepped up and ready for Blessed Holy Week?
We are. I think we're getting excited. We have our confirmation, junior confirmation, on Palm Sunday. So this has been a good week of wrapping up, reviewing, and I think the kids are pretty excited about it. And then of course next week we look beyond that to the great miracle of miracles in the resurrection, of course. So, yeah, a great topic for us to be talking about today.
Yes, and that was a tradition in the parish that I served for 21 years there in Michigan, Michael. We always did junior confirmation on Palm Sunday, too. So a special way to, celebrate the faith given to those young Christians and to launch Holy Week in great fashion. So do you have a public examination? Or
we do. We have that tonight. They've been going over their questions, and hopefully they're all ready. I've tried all kinds of things to help them put it together. It is a challenge to, we teach the catechism and the Bible, and the Bible's a big book, obviously, and even though we call it the small catechism, it's loaded with a lot of important information. And like I said, we can study this piecemeal along in our lives, but this is a time when we really try to keep it all together and really remember everything, the law, the gospel, the life of our faith in the Lord's Prayer and the sacraments and all of that. So it's a kind of a challenge to do all of that and to keep that all in mind, but I think they're doing good.
Yeah, I always like to, in fact, I think I kind of fell into this, that I just decided that there was a question or two that each one of the confirmands I thought easily could handle, and so that's what we would start with and move on to more difficult, trying things on their memory bank. So, God's blessings and all that. Now, you have the full slate of Holy Week services there at Good Shepherd in Collinsville, Illinois?
We do. This year we have another little added thing. Normally, we have the two Maundy Thursday services, 4:30 and 7, two Good Friday services, same time, 4:30, 7. And then Easter Vigil Saturday night and Sunday morning are two regular worship services. But this week we have a special opportunity. On Wednesday we will have a presentation of Christ in the Passover. One of our teachers' father, David Garrett, works for, as part of Jews for Jesus. And he is going to come and share with the congregation the Christ in the Passover presentation. We haven't had one here for quite a few years, so it's nice to be able to do that.
Are you doing the Passover Seder as well?
No, this won't. We've done Seders in the past as well, but this will just be an explanation, kind of like a very a Bible study with a lot of interesting props, I guess maybe is a way to describe it.
Mm. If I'm thinking correctly on those that I've seen on that, some special things with the matzah, right? And finding Jesus in that. So if you're in the Collinsville, Illinois area, real meaningful thing to check out. You'd be blessed. And that's on this coming Wednesday.
Wednesday at a time.
And
the time is, we have two opportunities, 4:30 and 7 o'clock. And, yeah, it's a great, I think it's, you know, we forget sometimes how significant the Passover is in our, you know, seeing the context of the Lord's Supper and of Christ's death and resurrection. You know, in many countries in the world, people don't use the word Easter. Easter is more of a German-English term. But in many countries of the world, what we're getting ready to celebrate next week is simply called the Pascha, the Passover.
Yeah.
And it's, and so as Paul calls it in Corinthians, he says it is our Passover. And so that, you know, we have every right to use that term, because that's our Passover, not the Passover of the death angel when Israel was in Egypt, but it is our Passover that God has provided for us in Christ.
And certainly that's the context that Jesus and his disciples were at that table when then he instituted the Lord's Supper. So, you know, if you understand that Old Testament celebrative context, it really makes, I think, the Lord's Supper pop, because a lot of people that I know that that I took through that would say, wow, he must have really got their attention when he kind of used that cup and blessed it in a different way. They heard and took some more unleavened bread and did the same. He really got their attention, and he should get ours as well.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, let's get right into it. Could you bless us with a word of prayer, please?
Let's begin. Lord, as we turn to your word, your holy word for our faith and our life, we pray for you to accompany us, bless us with your Holy Spirit, give us the understanding we need and the way of believing these things, because many things that we hear in your word certainly go beyond our understanding, and we pray that you would work through that word to continue to keep us in this faith and in faithful living. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I appreciative of your prayer there, and I think you gave us some advance insight and blessing, which we need about this text, because, you know, it speaks of things that I don't know about you, but I suspect maybe with your prayer that I can't totally wrap my mind around all that Paul has to say for us here, but it marvels me, enlightens me, kind of energizes me with hope that great stuff are ours yet to come who are in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, I've been praying that way a lot more in my life. You know, God has given us the capacity to understand many things, and we're very thankful for that. And I pray for that all the time. Give me an understanding. Give me an understanding of my own personal situation. What's wrong, what's right in my life, what's wrong, what's right in the things that are happening around me. But I also respect the fact that God is God, and he doesn't, I'm not going to understand everything in this life. And that's where I look to God to give me faith and then the obedience that comes from faith. Because even when things are a little foggy, even when I can't understand everything, It is faith that I don't have to worry about, faith that will carry me through. And when we're talking about things we're going to talk about today, death and what lies on the other side of death, this is certainly where we realize the limitations of our understanding, and we say, you know, we cling to Christ and lead us through this, and faith will get us through it.
I concur with what you're saying there, Pastor, and I'm the older I get, the more I'm that way. You know, analogy that I've always used for myself, and it certainly works for me, and I think the section that we're in is really Paul talking about analogies of the resurrection body, is when I was a very young boy, I can remember very clearly in kindergarten, When first day of school, we were asked to tell our name and then what our father did. And all I knew about my dad was that he drove off in a yellow and red truck. That's all I knew. And that he had a bunch of yellow and red trucks, and he had a gas and propane business that subsequently in our life, he did an oil distribution business, which he had a bunch of trucks. Well, when I was five, I barely knew much about the work of my father, my physical father. But as I grew older, I knew way too much about the work of my physical father because I had to work in his warehouse. But, you know, even then, I really didn't know all the intricacies and all the answers about how my dad provided for us. And I always kind of apply that to my Heavenly Father. Young in my Christian faith, I didn't know much at all. As I grow and study, I know more. But there's still a lot of unknowns for me, as you were saying. And just like I trust my physical father to take care of me, which he did a magnificent job, I thought, I trust even more in my Heavenly Father to take me home, where it's all good. So I really appreciate what you're saying. Well, let's jump right into it. We've got a middle to middle end portion of the Great Resurrection chapter in the Bible. That's what it's called. 1 Corinthians 15. So let's just read a little and then talk about it. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to pick it up at verse 35. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. Let's just stop there, because there's a wealth in all of this, is there not, Michael?
Right. It's just beautiful truths for us to look to. And, I think that what Paul's doing here is explaining and giving to us kind of an advanced lesson in what Isaiah was talking about in one of the last chapters, chapter 65 of Isaiah, when he said, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. And that's what we're going to be talking about a lot here in this section, is creation and new creation. And we can look to the first creation. It tells us things, and that will also help us understand things about the new creation.
I love the way you're putting that into some great context for us. This is new heaven, new earth talk, and I was looking here, Michael, that in the Lutheran Study Bible notes about this section, they're saying that Paul does not accept their questioning is kind of an honest inquiry, but as an attempt to cast doubt on the resurrection. And you know, the verses before that, he gets kind of angry. You know, he says, wake up from your drunken stupor. Do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of jumps into this next one. But someone will almost protest. How are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? And he calls them a foolish person. He's not very compassionate, is he?
Right. You know, and this is so important for us to see that if we have doubts in the resurrection Paul first of all talks about the resurrection of Christ, and he talks about the resurrection of the dead in general, and now more specifically addressing the questions about the body, the resurrection of the body. And so much of this does come back to creation itself. And if life could be created the first time the way it was, who's to say that it can't be, that death can't be overcome, you know? And Paul is challenging them to you know, get out of this narrow-minded kind of view that they have, and it's pretty much a Greek, you know, a Greek view and confusion. I know we'll talk more about this, especially this idea that both the Greeks and other people called the Gnostics had sometimes about the world of thought and ideas, spirit and so on, being way more important. I know you talked about that yesterday, and that the physical life isn't important, and Paul's reminding them that it's all important, and it was important the first time, and it'll be important the second time, too.
I really appreciate where you're taking us on this, because, you know, you brought it up a couple of times now. This really involves our creation at the very beginning as a human being, and then goes forward until when we are experiencing physical death, which I like to define it as a separation from the physical body, from the soul. And then here Paul is talking about a reuniting of that soul and physical body into something that he says is not the body. What you put down, what you put into the grave, is not the body that is to be. It's going to be something far greater than that. And as we're going to get into it here, the premier model of this is Jesus. And so we tend to want to answer all questions or have them answered for us in what we now know, not in what we don't know or can't know, or you know, can't know until later on. Mm-hmm. And I love this idea that you were saying, and were you thinking this as I often think about it? There is someone out there who's very powerful, who knew the formula for Rod Zwanzer, for Michael Walther, and made us unique people that we are. And that recipe, that formula, that genetic code for each one of us is so magnificent that, you know, to me, that's gives me a lot of confidence in the resurrection, that even if my body and all its essence were destroyed in this world, God's still got the recipes, still got the formula for Rod, and he can do it again. I have no doubt in that for myself or for anybody else. Were you kind of hinting at that, taking us back there to creation?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Either we are nothing more than accidents, or there's a plan. Somebody has a plan, a design for us in our life. And you're right. I would look at life and say, I don't believe this can all be an accident. And therefore, if there is someone who knew this and created me in this way, why would I doubt that he wouldn't have the power to take that and renew it? And maybe he's got an even, you know, there's more to this design than I can even appreciate. I mean, we all know, and you know, so that you've got especially this idea of the seed and the plant analogy that Paul is making here is fascinating too when you think about it. I mean, you can take a seed like of corn or of wheat, and you recognize, you can tell the difference between the two, and you can also match them up with the plant that grows from them. You know, corn obviously produces a corn plant, and a wheat produces a stalk of wheat. And, you know, but buried in that little seed, buried in that seed is, like you said, is this design for a you know, a huge, much bigger life, but it's there. And that's, Paul's using that analogy on purpose to say that, yeah, our physical bodies right now seem insignificant, and they seem, you know, that there's no good to them because they break down and they deteriorate, and we're all, you know, appalled by that. But Paul says, don't be appalled by that, because there's something in us that God can work with and can redeem our souls and so on. And it just like a seed sort of dissolves, falls apart, you know, in the ground, yet out of it comes a new life.
And that's miraculous stuff. And I know that, you know, there are scientists that understand what's all involved, and even in our day can kind of genetically alter some stuff. But, you know, an example that I was just thinking of the other day and talking to my wife about that, we've had the wonderful opportunity to work with a young landscape guy who's just kind of starting his own business. We got him through our real estate agent when we moved here, and you know, we really have had a fondness for him because he's starting out, and we can't give him much business. But we have this trellis that goes into a lovely little path that goes to our backyard, and we wanted to do something on it. And he said, well, hey, I know this vine that has these spectacular, big, cardinal-colored kind of vines, trumpets, and the hummingbirds around here love them, so let's do it. And, you know, he gave us a packet of these seeds, Michael, and on the front was this beautiful, it's called a cardinal climber, and these big trumpets thingy things, and the inside was these ugly little seeds.
Right.
And we said, well, how do we do this? And he said, just throw them on the dirt out there by the trellis. And we're like, you got to be kidding. You know, you don't have to plant them. Nah, she said, just put them out there, kind of step on them and water them. My goodness, did they take off and just grew real fast and covered all of that trellis, gave us wonderful big trumpet vines. The hummingbirds love them. And then they started dying. And I remember he told my wife at a certain point, he said, I want you to look at this. When it starts to get real dry and it looks like it's on its end, it'll be kind of when we start to get into winter, I want you to take all those seeds away. And put them in a bag, paper bag, and then put them away till next spring.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in spring, almost ready to go out and put those seeds back into the ground so they can grow again. My goodness, the author of life and death, he just is magnificent. And we see the fruits of that this time of year. This should really inspire us. Is this kind of where you think Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Michael, is trying to lead us, that we can see that kind of stuff and say, yeah, that's kind of when we put our loved ones into the ground, what he's saying, you know, you can't get a resurrected body until you sow this old body in the earth.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and he takes what we know naturally and what we can see. We have to see that seeds are miracles. The fact that life is passed on from one to the next the way it is amazing. And, you know, later on scientists would be able to explain it partially. I don't think they've explained it completely, but, you know, with DNA and things like that. But still, the fact of the matter is that there is a tremendous thing happening here, and that was something that God designed and God made, and so let's look and see what else God might have in mind for us, and the greater significance of life in relationship to those facts.
So well said, and we've got far more to talk about this very topic, the miraculous resurrection that we are yet to experience. But we know in the celebration of Holy Week that we're just about to enter, it is ours in Jesus Christ. The first fruits, as Paul calls him, and we all follow in his stead. So stick with us and Pastor Michael Walther of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. We'll be more back just in a few minutes. So listen to these messages. Join us again here on the Bible Study.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listening to worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth or sync up to listen in your car while driving anywhere. There are many easy ways to listen to worldwidekfuo.org. On the air, online, and on demand, the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The story of Palm Sunday, the entrance of Christ into Jerusalem, is a story full of both sunny happiness and overcast foreboding. On the next Sing for Joy, you will hear music that takes such a day seriously. I hope you'll listen.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Thanks for sticking with us on the Bible study. Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, truly enjoying just chatting with Pastor Michael Walter about this great section of the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. You can join us on this 314-821-0850 or 800-730-2727 or email KFUO at KFUO.org. Michael, I just truly am enjoying our conversation here. Let's read a little bit more, and then we can talk some more about it. I think we left it about 37, so let's pick it up there. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. Wow. Now, I hear some references there as to what you were saying about, you know, the new creation, the new heavens, the new earth. And so take us in a direction that you'd like on these additional verses that we add.
Yeah, well, what's interesting here is the way Paul is just observing that there is, because here's the question, you know, again, back to the original question was, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? And Paul is saying, well, look at the way nature is right now. You see a tremendous diversity in nature and the way God created things originally. So you just need to be open to the fact that God will do what he wants, and there might be, you know, there will be a tremendous change and difference, and yet there will be similarities, though, too. Like I said, you can tell the seed belongs to this kind of plant and so on, but the diversity of the creation in which we live is something to learn from, and to simply say, God can do wonderful and marvelous things, and in the new heaven and new earth, there will also be probably this kind of wonderful diversity in the way he made things.
Now, you talked before about, of this time, that the Greek philosophy and thinking was pretty predominant. And it's amazing, even in our time, it excuse me, sneaks in there. And tell us a little bit about maybe what he's countering there in what we would call, what, Greek dualism?
Sure. Yeah, see, I think everybody observes, everybody can tell that physical life, while it starts out beautifully and wonderful in most cases, it always is disintegrating and deteriorating. And because of that, people have, that has formed their view of the world. And one of the views that the Greeks took up and that others have also taken up as well is the view that, well, the physical is not permanent. It's not there's nothing. And not only that, it's very impermanent, which it is. I mean, we would say because of sin, it's impermanent and it falls apart. But they move a step further than that. They look at it as simply, you know, inherently deficient and insignificant, and the philosopher Plato was one who, through some of his teachings, brought about, you know, this the thought. Well, we get the word idea really from this, that the things we think about, the reality that's not bound to molecules, whatever it may be, that's the real, that's the lasting, that's the significant thing in this world. And so that's you know, a natural thing for people to sort of glob onto because of the way we see life going for everybody, and because of sin and the devastation that it causes, that's natural for us to think that. But that's not the way the Bible wants us to think and the way God wants us to think. He created it, and when he created it, everything was good, very good, he says in Genesis. And so there can be goodness in physical things, and so God creates both. He gives us both, and so Paul is simply saying, this is why we believe in the resurrection of the body, because God created physical life, and he has promised a new creation, and so that's what we look for, and that's what we will see in Christ.
You know, so many times, Michael, we hear older people speak of this, and when you get to my age, you're even more interested in hearing this, that, you know, we hear an older person say, I feel like a young person trapped in an older person's body.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then especially it's interesting to see younger people be in the home of an older person and see them, let's say, at their wedding and say, oh, my goodness, who's this beautiful man or woman here? And the older person said, well, that's me at my wedding. And you can see the look back and forth from the person now versus when they were younger and like, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, it really struck me. I'm an avid golfer, you know, and of course, this is a holy week kind of for us with the Masters. And yeah. Arnold Palmer is an honorary person there. He can't play, but he hits kind of the first tee shot along with Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and he can barely walk. And they were saying, and they showed him back when he was in his prime in 64, you know, winning there. And you're just like, wow, you're stunned at the difference. And yet, you know, you listen to like Arnold talk and he has so much wisdom. And we're around some older people and they seem so wise. A lot of them, you know, in the Blessed Church of Jesus Christ, such wise spiritual people. And we say, wow, you know, this is amazing. The body that seems to house this person is wearing out, but inside their spirit and their mind are still pretty good. And this comparison it seems to be in these verses that God says, "Hey, I'm not done with you guys yet." You know, almost would you say the best is yet to come?
That's exactly right, and Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians, and he says that the old part of us is wearing away, but the inner man is being renewed day by day, and that's very true. The inner life that we have, the life of faith, the spirit and the soul, these things are we can recognize the renewal of those things and see that what Paul wants us also to see is not only do we have that, but in the resurrection of the body we will also eventually see the renewal of the outer man as well.
Oh, that's just fantastic, isn't it? And I thank you so much for bringing up, what Paul says there. And I think tail end of 2 Corinthians 4, and then on into 5, about our bodies might be wearing out, but inside it's renewal and strengthening and growth of our spiritual person, which is fantastic. And I always like to use that with the elderly people that I had, just such a blessing to minister to in their final days. I'm telling them, hey, you've got what it takes, and don't worry about this body falling away. And even I would tell people, hey, you can't do the things that you used to be able to do, even to contribute to the body of Christ, but you can contribute so much spiritually. And that's where God wants to take you and take me and you. And let's just comment on that. Let's leave the rest of our verses so we can spend time on them as well in our remaining time. Pick it up at verse 42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust, and as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Wow, there's this wild comparison back and forth, and would you say, Michael, a progression here? He says, this is the progression of the resurrection of the dead.
Right. Yes, exactly. And it's a building up, definitely, of this is what the way God is working. Don't give up on him. Don't discount the promises that he has made, which is what the Corinthians, had been taught and misled to understand and to give up on God what we're talking about right now is one of the things that gives the Christian faith so much energy and it gives us a purpose to live. It gives us value in life, of all life, especially the life of the aged. Any other view of life cannot help but, look with despair and even negativity, and even worse than that, I fear coming soon, probably. It's been part of many cultures in the past, to just disregard the old, the sick, the handicapped, people who aren't well-formed for whatever reason. and just give up on them because they're not, you know, they're not worth, you know, sacrificing for, helping, saving, and so on and so forth. All of that is overturned completely by these words we're reading right here.
Very good. So that this progression that the Lord of life and death is in control of shouldn't be tampered with. We shouldn't feel that we are smart enough or you know, experienced enough to know when it's someone's time to be taken back by our Lord. And so we wait for his you know, leading. And I like that, Michael, that it does ground us and give us a sense of worth, each and every human life at any stage, doesn't it? Because could we say the master gardener, the master, you know, care for our souls is at work? And you see that so magnificently going on around us, new birth and death and the thing we haven't seen yet is this new world, this new creation you were talking about with resurrected bodies, and we're anticipatingly waiting for that. In fact, you know, Romans 8 says that all of creation is waiting for that event too.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And so to deny that Lord of life and death to work until he's ready is kind of to say I don't trust him. You know, I doubt that he's maybe good or he's in control. And here we're getting, yeah, he is in control and he's working all things for the good.
Yes. And so again, this whole chapter is always leading us in hope and joy and confidence, as you'll get into next week. You know, the whole chapter is moving toward this climax of God's victory over death and the corruption of sin. And so the victory is ours in our Lord Jesus Christ, as he says towards the end of the chapter. Yeah, beautiful words of hope, life, and the value of life.
And you know, I don't know about you, but I suspect you're much like me and other believers, that when you go to celebrate the life and death of a loved one or a friend, to hear that Jesus is in control and he's got great plans for this individual. So we don't talk about the individual. We talk about the individual's creator, redeemer, sanctifier, Jesus Christ. It gives, every time I get a great smile on my face and I'm thankful to God for this life that we're now putting back in the ground to let him finish it at the resurrection of all the dead.
Yes, and you know, I think the way Paul explains it here in these latter verses of this particular section again is to come back to the first Adam and to the second man and so on and the last Adam, and just to realize that this resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the transforming miracle of miracles for all people. And we don't have to fear this problem of sin and of its temporary earthly consequences. We know that Jesus completely has overcome all of it, and when we are with him, we also will overcome it. Even though we may have to bear our crosses, as he told us, and even though we have to die physically, we know that that's not the end.
Almost out of those, you know, ugly-looking seeds comes a beautiful trumpet cardinal climber plant. Wow.
Right.
We're looking for that. We've got a caller here, Cheryl in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Bible study today, Cheryl.
Thank you for taking my call. Verse 38, but God gives it a body. This is all by God's design. And I was reminded of all that by Pastor Wirth when his time he was talking about the body that God gave to the caterpillar and how it's able to dissolve in its chrysalis into a liquid form and completely change body parts, and then force its way out of there at a prearranged seam, and become a caterpillar, become not a caterpillar, but have totally different body parts and be a butterfly. But that reminded me of that, you know, God, it does that for us in baptism. Romans 6, verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And this is important for me because my daughter's baptism day is on Palm Sunday this year, and so I will be contacting her and reminding her of her baptism, because this is what qualifies us for this life in with Christ, to be able to see with our own eyes, to see our Redeemer with our own eyes face to face.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for listening and calling us today, Cheryl. Comments on Cheryl's observations there, Pastor?
You know, just that's a great reminder of the whole metamorphosis of the caterpillar and the butterfly. Yeah, again, that's a beautiful example of, if God can do it this way in this creation, who's to deny him that he can't do something like that in another way? And he's the one who has created the world the first time, and if he says he can do things in another way, then why should we doubt him?
Exactly my thought. You know, the Greek verb metamorpheo, where we get metamorphosis, remind me of that passage in, what is it, Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be metamorphosed,
right,
transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Wow. So thanks for that, Cheryl. And you know, excuse me, in Christianity we use so much symbolism, and the butterfly is actually a symbol for, you know, the resurrection, a new life that's different. You know, caterpillar and a butterfly are the same creature. They're just in different, you know, stages, we say. And so, you know, we're staged to be in a resurrected body. Verse 49 really intrigues me. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Unload that for us, if you will.
Yeah, that in my confirmation class, we were just speaking about the image of God, and what is it? And I pointed out that originally Adam and Eve had a holiness and a perfection, and they also had knowledge of God and could communicate with him and talk with him. And of course, those things were corrupted by sin, and yet in Christ they are renewed, and through the forgiveness of our sins. And again, what Paul is doing here is, if God could give us an image in the creation of Adam and Eve, and in the life that we know as part of that world, then he can also give us another image, a different image in this case, and we should be thankful for that and hopeful of that.
So, you know, that bearing the image of the man of heaven, Jesus, is truly something to desire and to look forward to, not knowing at all how that's going to happen. You know, I don't know about you, Michael, but I've never seen the resurrected Jesus. But I had two of my members that definitely said they had. A beautiful couple up in British Columbia, Canada, where I was placed to start my ministry, and headwaters of the Columbia River, and a beautiful Christian couple there told me that their high school son, their only son, the night of his graduation, they had this tradition there of wading out into the Columbia River at a place there. The world's largest smelter is located there, and there's a little beach there where people can swim. And if you go out a little bit in the water, there's big signs that say, don't go beyond this sign. There's undertow, you know, dangerous undertow. And, of course, you know what high school kids do sometimes. They will double daring each other and all that to go into it. And their son was one of a few group that did that, and it swept him away. Didn't find his body till about 6 months later. They found it at Dead Man's Cove downstream in Washington State across the USA border. And the night that it happened, they were just distraught. And they tell me that the resurrected Jesus appeared at the foot of their bed and said, your son's with me, and he's okay. And then he left. And I have no reason to doubt that happened. I don't know that it did. But boy, they sure spoke of it like it actually happened. And whether it did or not, these words, this promise of God, that we shall bear the image of that resurrected Jesus Christ. We shall see him face to face, and we shall be as he is. What great stuff, huh?
Yeah, and we shall see him as he is, John tells us. I've wondered, too, I think one of the Paul speaks here of differences between the old creation and the new creation, and in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. I wonder if in the new creation there's going to be a much better understanding of God and of things. I mean, even Adam and Eve, they didn't have understanding of everything. They were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so perhaps that's one of the joys. Our questions will be answered. We won't have to live by faith anymore, so to speak. We'll live in this perfect condition of knowing God, and that's a good thing to look forward to.
Yeah, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, faith, love, and hope all abide, but the greatest of these is love. And as you were saying, in that resurrected body with the resurrected Christ, we won't need faith or hope. We can just love him as he loves us. And how glorious. I've thought the same things as you, Michael, get asked what time in my life I'm going to be raised at and all those kind of issues. And I go, I really don't know and I really don't care, because just to be there with him is enough for me.
That's right.
Pastor Michael Walther of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church there in Collinsville, Illinois. Thank you for being such a wonderful friend and guest today on the Bible study, and the Lord's richest blessings upon your celebration of Holy Week there, blessings on your confirmation of those beautiful young Christians, and your celebration there on Wednesday night again at 4:30 and 7?
4:30 and 7, that's correct.
And then you've got Good Friday services and Easter Vigil, beautiful service, Saturday night, and Easter Resurrection celebration as well.
That's correct.
God's blessings, Michael, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Join us tomorrow, not tomorrow, Monday. Monday on the Bible study. Next up, Faith and Family here on KFUO with Andy Bates. Stay tuned.
Listen to the Bible study Monday through Friday at this time. The Bible study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible study programs at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.